politics, man. Religion, crazy. Fortune, privilege, fame, addicted, money, getting richer, power, manipulation. Welcome to the school.
It's time.
Welcome to the school of life. School of life. Sometimes I did it wrong, sometimes I did it right. School of life. No matter how crazy this world may seem.
I did and everything, and I was hoping to make it to Tuesday. So I did a double, like Friday. So I worked 16 hours Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and I had to go to work on Tuesday. So I was like literally hoping to get off work Tuesday, go to sleep. That was the plan. Well, midday Tuesday, early midday, I received a call that at work that needed my attention. So we get to this active scene. I'm not going to say too much about it, but this scene involved a person who ended up taking their lives. They ended up taking their lives, and I must have been there for maybe 6 hours talking to this person, trying to convince them otherwise. And it happened. And, you know, that takes a lot on anybody. It's one thing, and I'm not new to this. This is what I do. It's not new to this. I've been involved in many situations and circumstances just like this one. But this one bothered me like no other one did. I wasn't myself for a couple days. But I made the wrong decision to go on social media and to read comments from this very public incident. I did. I don't know why I did it, but I found myself reading comments. Yep. And just looking at what everybody had to say. People that wasn't there, don't know what's going on, don't know what's happening, don't know the facts, but commenting, giving their opinion about what should have been done, what could have been done, what was not did, and blaming, shaming. So I found myself feeling down. I found myself in a state that made me question the position that I was in. So much so that I told myself this duty, this responsibility, I no longer want to do it anymore. I decided and I made up in my mind that I was done. And I'll tell you this, 30% of it is ego. You get into this mindset, you learn how to be good at what you do. You have a track record of doing what you do. And then you get that one. Come on. Don't go the way you thought it would go. You get that one. And now you're questioning. Some of it's ego. Let's say about 30% of it. 70% of it is just the fact that you're human. Yes. And you're experiencing something. And you're going through something. But it was in that moment that I begin to question, why am I doing this? This is too heavy. I'm done. I don't want to do it no more. That the Lord brought back to me the process that I had to go through to get to that place. I remember that when I interviewed for this particular role, that it was over 100 people that interviewed for it. I reminded how out of 100 people, I was one of seven. Then I went through all of this training and different things like that, and that was not easy. It took time away from my family. I had to travel and be gone for 2 weeks at a time, getting specialized training in different things like that. And then I began to do the work. And it's so funny how in moments like this, the enemy will do the same thing he did to me, to you. It's to make you question the very position that God has put you in. He'll make you forget about the ones you've helped and the ones you saved over the one that made their own decision. And so, what I want to talk about today is don't read the comments. Because the comments have nothing to do with the position that God has put you in. What people say and what they feel about you has nothing to do with the anointing that God has placed on your life. And if you are doing it for the right reason, it doesn't matter what anybody else says about it anyway. But we have to hold on to that, because life will present a set of circumstances. It'll create some things that will have you feeling like this and feeling like this. And then you will start to question the position that you're in. And my question to you is, who put you there? Now, if you put you there, you might want to go ahead and step back. You might want to. You know, we say all the time that the Lord won't put more on you than you can bear. But guess what? You can. You can. But if you know that you know that God has positioned you, then no matter the weight of the position that you've experiencing, he's already given you the grace for it. The problem is sometimes we go off our own strength and we don't get into his strength. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. My strength ain't made perfect. I got to get out of me and into him. And then you will see that the weight that you feel ain't really even weight. But I really want to talk about really quick is what causes us to read the comments. What causes us to take our time and to listen to the opinions of others of what God has told us to do? The first reading that I might suggest to you, if you find yourself like me reading comments, is the lack of faith. Sometimes we know what God said and we heard what God said, but if we really be honest, we don't really believe what God says. Well, Pastor, what does the word believe mean? Believe means to live by. So if I believe, I live by what he told me. If I believe, I'm going to live by it. That means my actions. That means that everything that I do, everything that I say is going to line up to it. But God has put us in some positions, and because we have the lack of faith and we're not living by what he said or what he promised, it's caused us to divvy in the comment section. Wow. because I'm not sure. I need to go read and see what everybody else has to say about it. Wow. Second one that I want to give you, if that is not you, is false approval. False approval. Because we so desperately want to be approved by people, we forget that we've already been approved by God. I don't need you to like me. I don't need you to co-sign. All I need to do is be in the position that God has called me. I hear somebody saying, but I'm a little messed up. That's okay. God like messed up people. Look at David. David made several mistakes, but he was still the called and the chosen of God. The only person that you need the approval of is God. You don't need the approval of your mother. You don't need the approval of your father, of your best friends, of your family members. If God has given you a position and he's placed you in it, you better own it. Because the approval is in spite of what people think, what people feel about you, what they heard about you. You approve because God approved you, not because men approved you. The next thing that I want to give you today is some of us, while we read the comments, because we're drama seeking. We just want to find somebody to argue with. So we call people and ask them, what do they think about what God said, about what God told you to do, just so we can argue with them about it. Because we seek in this drama, we seek in this combat, we seek in this opposition. Just in the comments, looking for somebody who thinks differently than you do. So I can tell them off and tell them that God called me. Well, if you know that God called me, you ain't got to stand on the platform and say that. You can just do or be what God has called you to do and be. But some of us, Hollywood has got to us. TV has got to us. And there's got to be some drama. And last but definitely not least, this one is curiosity. It ain't that I got the lack of faith, you know. It ain't that I need approval. It ain't that I'm seeking drama. I just want to see what everybody's saying about it. But when you are curious in this capacity, you can find yourself exposed to things and to people that God would never want you to be exposed to. And now your curiosity has caused you to be double-minded in all your ways. Now the curiosity has you questioning if God called you or if God has chosen you, and God has already stamped you for approval. I want to go to the word today because, you know, I'm going to give it to you naturally, and then I want to give it to you spiritually. Let's go to Genesis 3 really quick. Genesis 3. 1-7. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says this. It says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all wild animals the Lord had made. And one day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? Verse 2, for of course we may not eat from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It is only the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it, for you, or if you do, you will die. Verse 4, you won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be made like God, knowing both good and evil. And the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took some of the fruit and ate. And then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt ashamed at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Here it is. God has given Adam specific instructions on the position that he's placed him in. He told Adam, I'm giving you dominion. I'm giving you all power over everything that walks, that talks, that crickles, that flies through the sky. I'm giving you authority over every living thing in the earth. And with this authority, I need you to do this. I need you to name the animals. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. But there's one thing, Adam, I don't need you to do. I don't need you to touch this tree. You can have any other tree. You can enjoy any other tree. You can have all the fruit on every tree in this garden. But I need you not to touch this one. Gave him instructions. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us if Adam tells Eve what God said. Bible doesn't tell us that, but we see that the serpent comes to the woman, and obviously he must have told her something, because we see that Eve recites the commandments that God gave. But the enemy decides to comment on what God told them. Or him. And we see that this really wasn't much trickery. We see this really wasn't an abracadabra moment. This was simply the enemy putting his comment section under what God had told Adam. And because they valued his opinion over the words of God, we see that Adam and Eve first felt naked. That means that there was a supernatural covering that was there that disappeared when they chose to believe what he said over what God said. And not only did the covering leave, but as a result of this, God drives them out of the garden. He says, you no longer can be here. You have to go. The question becomes, what does Eden represent? And what really did God kick them out of? Come on. Eden represents a place of unlimited resources. Eden represents a place of total dominion and power that was supposed to be ruled by the man that God set place. It was a place of the supernatural presence of God, so much so that they were naked and didn't even realize it. So Adam and Eve are drove from the place of supernatural covering. They're drove from the place of supernatural resources, all because they chose to listen to the comments. And from this, we see tragedy after tragedy after tragedy after tragedy after tragedy happens because they were removed from this place. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm wondering here today, what has God established in your life? What has God established as this place or this position of ultimate resource, of ultimate divine connection and communion with Him, that most of us or some of us have chose to listen to people and not to God? And as a result, we've experienced tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. I'm wondering today if we can stop reading the comments and realize and recognize that whatever position that you are in, wherever God has you right now, that it is where you're supposed to be. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to find a way out. Stop listening to other people's opinions about what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it, and dig into God and say, God, if you have me here, I'm just going to be here, because I'm only going to go based off what you said. We've counseled and we've been drove out because we've weighed other people's opinions over God's word. The Holy Spirit gave me this morning. When you really think about it, right, you have to be a careful, church, with opinions. Because opinions has the ability to manipulate any, I'll just say this, people. And whenever people are being manipulated, that is what we call witchcraft. So can we just take a self-inventory right now and wake up and realize we ain't got to tell everybody our opinion about how we feel? Some of us just want to tell everybody what we feel about what they're doing. Come on. Want to tell everybody what we feel, how we look. Ain't nobody asked you for your opinion. But we're just out here giving our opinion. And not saying, if I want to say something or if I feel led to say something, let me figure out what God wants me to say. So be careful, church, giving your opinion, because if it ain't, first of all, it ain't your opinion if it comes from God. And anything that God says, you can back up in His word. Ain't nothing new under the sun. So don't be coming here making up what you feel and what you think and then telling people, God told me to tell you. So I really want to give you these 3 points really quick. It's when you enter the comment section, what happens? The first thing that happens is, number one, you become distracted. It distracts. Instead of being busy in the position or doing what God has called you to do, you're now taking your attention off of what God has called you to do to figure out what people are saying. That's why you become distracted. It distracts you. And when you are distracted, it messes up and it causes you to be double-minded in all of your ways. Go back to the garden. The trick of the enemy was to get their mind off of all God said that they could have to focus on the one thing He said they couldn't. He said, you can eat from any tree but this one. And the enemy, when you in them comment sections, they'll have you look at the one thing that's going wrong in your life that you can't see how blessed you really is. Ain't nobody perfect. And we all are experiencing life. So don't forfeit your position. Don't forfeit what God has called you to because one thing is not right. You need to look at what all is going right. Because I guarantee you, if you really take time and look at it, you will see that you are more blessed than you are not. You don't understand. You don't understand. You know, I'm suffering from this. Is your car note paid? Do you got food in your refrigerator? Do you have the activity of your limbs? Did you have to be rolled in here today? Come on. See, the enemy wants you to focus on the one thing that's going wrong in your life so that you can say, you know what, God, this ain't working out for me. I'm going to just do my own thing. The enemy, he really got them to focus on the one thing God said they could not have. Even if the tree, even if the fruit on that tree looked good, in my mind, well, if it's only that's maybe that's gonna run out fast. I got all this, I don't need that. It distracts. The second thing that the comment section does is it divides. After you become distracted, your attention becomes divided. So now I'm in this cycle of, do I do what God said or do I do what these people said? And now the Bible says that you become double-minded. And now you can't make a decision. You don't know your left from your right. You don't know what's wrong or what's right because you're in this position that I can't make a decision. And it's all because you're listening to the wrong people.
Yeah, come on.
See, your focus, once it's divided, the voices become equally as loud. So now I can't hear if it's coming from here or it's coming from there. I don't know because I'm distracted. And because I'm distracted, my attention is divided. So now I'm scheming. Woo, thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm trying to find out the right way to do the wrong thing.
Wow.
I know he said, don't eat of it, but maybe if she handed it to me, it'll be okay. Because I didn't do it myself. I didn't touch it. She touched it. It divides. And after you've been distracted, after your attention has been divided, what comes next is we become destroyed. We become destroyed. And not physically destroyed, not dead, but we come to a place like Adam and Eve. Well, now they were walking along in a garden this whole time. They never thought that they were naked. They never thought about that or anything. And now they're worrying about things that God never intended them to worry on. They're destroyed because now their purpose ain't really purpose. Their purpose has become this worry thing that now I have to cover myself. And now I have to do this. And now I have to do that. I'm now destroyed because I am not being used for my original purpose. Instantly, they realize they were naked. And now they start working to cover themselves. And some of us today are destroyed because the purpose that God has given us, we've allowed the enemy to take it away. So I'm living, but I'm not alive. I'm living. I'm going through life, but I am not alive because I am not walking in the position that God has placed me in. I want to give you this, and I'm getting out the way. I want to take you really quick to, let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke 13. Let me show you this. That's one thing that I thank God for, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So what men couldn't get right, Jesus came to fulfill. Amen.
Yeah.
he came to fulfill. That's why it doesn't matter that if you've been distracted, if you've been divided, or you've been destroyed, today you can get right back on track. Doesn't matter if you've forfeited your position. Guess what? He still wants you. He's still hiring. He still called you. He still chose you. And there's still work for you to do. Luke 13, 10 through 17 says this. It says, one Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was able to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." And then he touched her, and instantly she could stand up straight. How? She praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days of the week for working, he said to the crowd. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. But the Lord replied, "You hypocrite. Each of you work on the Sabbath day. Don't you unite your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it to the water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath?" This shamed his enemies, but all the people rejoiced as the wonderful things he did. We see first the enemy comes and try in Genesis and disrupts and leaves a comment based on what the word says. But see, they messed up this time because they didn't realize they were actually talking to the word. And they tried to bring up this religious law that you are not supposed to heal on the Sabbath. And they try to catch Jesus up. They try to call him out. They did this. They didn't pull Jesus to the side. They told him to the crowd, basically, "You're breaking the law." But they didn't know that he was the law. And Jesus basically calls him out and says, "You hypocrites. Don't you take your ox out of the stable and lead him to the water so he can drink?" In other words, if you're going to feed and bless your ox, how can I not feed and bless my people? But I want you to pay attention that Jesus, he didn't get distracted. His attention did not be divided. Therefore, he couldn't be destroyed. You see, this was an attempt of the enemy to discredit Jesus so that people would not believe in him. You say this man is the Savior? Well, why is he healing on the Sabbath? Yeah, right. This is a very attempt to destroy who Jesus was to the earth. But Jesus saw right through it, and he didn't get caught up in the comments of what people were saying. He then verified who he was and what he was called to do. And I just want to know today that if we can get to a place where when the position that we in, When we're coming against scrutiny, when we're coming against opinion, we can just recite who we are and who God has called us to be. Yes. So I want to give you these 3 points, and I'm almost done. I want to give you these 3 points of how to overcome reading the comments. Because let's be honest, who done read the comments? You done read them. You know what's crazy is that people know more about what you should do than you. Ain't even thought that would be crazy. Right. Everybody know what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing, and we just dumb enough, we just listen to them. First thing that I want you to understand, I'm almost done. number one is don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. Because I know, especially in a world where everybody just do what they feel, everybody do what feels comfortable, it's easy to say, you know what? I'm tired of this. You know what? This is stressing me out. You know what? I'm done, just like me. But you have to understand that God never told you this thing that would be easy, but he told you that he would be with you. So whatever position that you're in, that you're thinking about quitting because it's too hard, you're thinking about quitting, don't get weary in well-doing. Keep on doing what God has called you to do, because no matter who what they got to say about it, no matter about what they think about it, it's only God that you're going to have to stand to and answer. And when you stand in front of God, you ain't going to be able to say, well, they said, what she said, what I felt like. The question is going to become, well, what did I say? You have to understand that you are accountable for you. Yeah. You are not accountable to the comments. Come on. Some of us feel held accountable to the comments. So because you think I'm crazy, I have to respond to it. Because you think I'm doing too much, I think I have to respond to it. And then that's why we find ourselves distracted and destroyed and divided, because we're making ourselves accountable to comments more than we're accountable to what God said. You are not accountable to the comments. Look at Noah. God told him, build an ark because it's going to rain. People laughed at him. They talked about him. It's going to rain. What? Why are you building this big old boat? I'm telling you, you better keep on building. You better keep on getting in position. You better keep on doing what God has called you to do. Because guess what? When it rains, you'll be prepared for it. Don't get weary in well-doing. Number two. You have to understand that this position is blessed. The Bible says that the steps of a good man or woman is ordered by the Lord. So whatever position you find yourself in, it's blessed. It may not feel like it. It may not look like it. I could imagine Joseph, who had a dream that he was going to be this great governor, this great ruler. He found himself in a pit being sold to slavery, but he had no idea of the inner workings of the Holy Spirit and how that the position he was put in was set up to be a blessing to his family years later down the road. I don't care what it feels like, it's blessed. I don't care what it's looked like. It's blessed because God has ordained for you to be here. The ground that you stand on is holy because God has me here. And even if misfortune has allowed me or has made me be in this place, I'm so thankful that God is so good that he can even turn things around. So there must be a lesson I need to learn from this place. There must be something God need me to see from this place. But I'm trying to tell you that if he allowed you to be there, it is blessed. The problem is we only think blessings are about money. The problem is we think that blessings come with comfortability. The problem is we think blessings come without challenges. But if I can be honest with you, it was in my weakest hour that I found out that his strength was made perfect. If I can be honest with you, it was when I was low that I found out he really was a keeper. And all these experiences, it helped set the trajectory of my life, because when my brother died, I knew he was a keeper because I experienced it. So I'm thankful thankful for the place of misfortune. I'm thankful for the things that I don't know how it happened and why it happened, but I realize that everything that he texts me through in every season that I'm in is blessed because he's setting me up for a greater future. You see, Adam and Eve was blessed already. I believe the text said he don't want you to eat from the tree because you would be like him, knowing both good and evil. But if you go to Genesis 1, you will already see that he already made them in his image. They was already made in his image. He had already given Adam dominion. Everything that the enemy offered them was what they already had, but they thought that it was a place better than where God had positioned them. Can I tell you there is not a better place than where God has positioned you? I know you want to move to Texas. I know you want to move here. I know you want to move there, but where God has you right now, right here, is the best place you can be because here is holy. It's not holy because you have everything going on or you have this. It's holy because it's where God has positioned you. Sanctification and holiness simply means to be set aside or set apart. Can I tell you that the position where God has promised you or blessed you or wherever you are now is because he's sanctifying you. He's setting you apart. You might not have all the money in the bank right now. You might not have everything that you want and need, but I promise you, hold on a little while longer. Yes, this position that you're in is blessed. But a lot of us are reading the comments, focusing on the one thing that we don't have, the one thing that God hasn't done, the one thing that God hasn't released, that we cannot see all that God is doing. This place, somebody say, this place, is blessed. Last, but definitely not least, what you have to understand is this position it's not about you. God set up Adam and Eve in a garden, not for them, but he gave them instructions to do what? Be and do what? He told them, be fruitful and multiply. So what God established in the garden was not about Adam and Eve. It was about you and me and the rest of us. You see, God had the foresight so many years ago that if I'm going to create people in my own image, in my own likeness, then I got to set them up right. I got to put them in position. But Adam and Eve made the mistake to think that what God was doing in their life was about them. It wasn't about them. It was about what's supposed to come through them or by them. The enemy said, he don't want you to know, y'all, good and evil. He's withholding this thing from you. They looked at the tree. They saw that it was good for eating, digesting. And they said, you know what? I'm going to have it. But when you think that the position that God has you in is for you, it causes that types of mismanagement. Because you're only thinking about how your decision will affect you and not the ones that's supposed to come through you, by you. So thinking for self, they was like, you know what? Go ahead, I'm gonna eat. But if they would have thought about their children, there's children's children. They may have said, you know what? And just like them, some of us are in position right now. And we think that where God has positioned us is about us. But the position that he's put you in, the place that you're in, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, it's not for you. It's for the one that comes after you. It could be the one that you birth. It could be the one that you come in contact with. It could be the one you meet randomly at the grocery store. But the position you are in, it's not for you. It's for his glory. Yeah. It's for his glory. If Jesus would have allowed them to throw him off his game, he wouldn't have died and went to that cross. They spit on him. They mocked him. They talked about him. They scandalized his name. But he stayed in position. Not because he was happy that they were talking about him. Not because it felt good. Because he realized, this is not about me. Yeah. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will. Father, forgive them because they don't even know what they do. Because this is not about me. This is about the glory after this. Now the Bible is true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's because Jesus stayed in position. That's because Jesus didn't allow the comments to get to him. And I just wonder today, stand to your feet, I'm done. I wonder today, if we can just stop listening to the outside voices. We can stop reading the comment sections. We can stop going other places to find out this and find out that. I wonder if we could just say, what did God say? Yeah. What has God instructed me to do? This position, it may not feel good, but God has allowed me to be here. And because of that, what glory are you trying to get from this? Can I tell you that no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, God has something special down on the inside of you. He put it in you before he shaped this world. And it's your duty, it's your responsibility to be in the position that God has established for you to be in.